Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you're struggling with Bible questions or life issues, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. We'll talk it through with you. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can speak directly with us right now. Overnight, just call that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail for us with your question or your issue, and we'll be glad to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. So call now, 844-322-2742, because this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and welcome to Basic Gospel. Andrew, welcome as well. Certainly glad to have you on today's edition of this program.
Well, thank you, my friend. Great to be here.
Well, and you and I are going to talk about one of our favorite subjects, and that is the grace of God. We're talking about it all month long. It's the most important subject that we can talk about because it is connected to Jesus. It is connected to who he is and what he's accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. We've asked people to jump on board with us and give us their definition of the grace of God and how that grace of God is shaping their day-to-day life. And I'm going to ask you to do the same here in just a minute, Andrew, but I wanted to start out by simply reading this verse out of Ephesians. Most of us know it, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So that's the grace of God spelled out for us in the book of Ephesians. So how do we define it? What do we take from this particular passage as to what grace really is and how it impacts us as far as salvation in our day-to-day lives?
Well, everything is free, and I love that expression. For me, that's what God's grace is. It means everything is free. The forgiveness is free. The presence of God is free. The righteousness, the right standing with God is free. A place secured for us in the future is free. God's Spirit dwelling in us, it's all free. And, you know, this grace message is really not some new trend or some special focus. I mean, 1 Peter 5 says God is the God of all grace. John 1 says Jesus is full of grace. So you want a definition of grace. I mean, ultimately, we get back to Jesus. And the cross and the resurrection are the means by which we enjoy God's grace. I mean, Paul tells the young pastor Timothy that grace is more than enough, that, you know, in Romans he says we've received an abundance of grace. John 1 says grace upon grace. Romans 5 says the grace of God overflows to us. So this is not a special focus. This is the gospel. I mean, Acts chapter 20 says the gospel is to be known as the gospel of grace. And it's more than salvation. I mean, it's also learning and growing, and God's grace teaches us to say no to sin. That's Titus 2. So by the time we make it through the New Testament, I mean, we have quickly discovered that God's grace is way more than mercy. It's not just about salvation, a ticket to heaven. It is about the means by which God tutors us and counsels us every day, every moment, every hour. We can count on his presence. Bob, everything is free by God's grace.
And that is good news. I mean, that is such good news. We are, as human beings, you know, when we're bound to sin and death, everything in our minds has to be earned. It has to be worked for. It has to be achieved. And so we give it our best shot and we fall flat on our faces and it becomes a very frustrating experience. But that's never how God intended it. I mean, he spoke us into existence. That's just something that he did. And when he sent Jesus, that was just something that he did. When Jesus died on a cross, that was something that he did, he chose to do, and then he's lavished that favor, he's lavished that onto all of us through faith. And it is a marvelous, marvelous reality, and we'll never get to the end of grace. We'll never plunge the depths of grace. You know, we think we've learned all that we can, and then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I love Peter's encouragement to us in his second letter when he ends it. And he ends his first letter. He says, I've written to you about the grace of God. Stand firm in it. And then at the end of his second letter, he says this, we're to grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And I love how he couples those two together. If you're going to grow in grace, you're going to grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, because he's the one who is full of grace. So this is a subject that you just don't gloss over. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just one in a list of many. It is the heart and soul of Christianity. It's the heart and soul of our new life in Christ. We can never get away from the grace of God, can we?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like there's accusations hurled at the grace of God. I mean, we're told that God's grace is kind of like cookies and candy, and that's great, but there's a deeper message, and, you know, the deeper message is stop your sinning, apparently, and that's what the church thinks, sin management, behavior improvement. And yet what the Bible actually says is God's grace is the core of the gospel. It's the only thing that strengthens us, enables us to say no to sin. So if you think stop sinning is a deeper message, well, you can find that in John the Baptist and what he was preaching. He was saying, repent from sins, stop your sinning. You can also find that in many world religions today. In fact, improve your game, shape up, have better performance, do more, be more, love more. But what is unique and awesome about Christianity is God says it's good for your heart to be strengthened by grace. And, you know, God even says that our victory over sin is by grace. So if you tell me to tone down that grace, you're telling me to tone down that victory over sin. And it just makes no sense. God's grace empowers us. God's grace is the core of the message. There is no deeper message. It's all about the grace of Jesus.
Yeah, that's a far cry from the Bob Newhart School of Counseling that merely says, just stop it. Just stop it.
Right.
We have something far greater than that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself to us fully by his grace.
Bob. Great insights, guys. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And just before we go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk to Andrew, I want to remind everybody that supports this message heard every day here on Basic Gospel that we just want to extend our thanks to you. It's your love and your support of the message of grace in Jesus Christ that assures Basic Gospel a place on the air and online. If you're new to Basic Gospel, and if what you hear on this program is resonating with you, if it's making a positive difference in your life, maybe in your family, well, we ask you to join with us in the blessing of supporting God's work through Basic Gospel. Others need to hear just as you have, and your gifts will make it possible. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we want to send you a new resource called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the message of grace in Jesus Christ that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Once again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Andrew, you are on the air.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, good evening. It's always good to hear you. And then I got my namesake, Andrew, on the air, too.
Right.
All right, now. But, you know, sometimes we listen to people and they'll tell you that because of grace, ministers, a lot of people preach this, that then that gives you the ability to do the Ten Commandments, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And then, so they're still putting on back on the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people do this, even as Gentile people, we never were under the law. So I was wondering when someone says that, what's the conversation? What would be a good answer to that?
Yeah, well, Andrew, that's a great question. I mean, really it boils down to, is God helping you on Monday and Tuesday? Is God helping you fulfill the law? And the answer is no, Jesus already fulfilled it. I mean, Romans says what the law could not do, God did, and he fulfilled the law in us So we don't have to run around trying to fulfill it. So it's really an incredible double talk, guys, when you hear someone say, all right, we're dead to the law, but God's going to help us to keep it. We're free from the law, but God's going to help us keep it. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe, but even though he's the end of it, God's going to help you keep it. All you need is the Holy Spirit to help you, and then you just take it to its natural conclusion. I mean, if Paul says the Sabbath is a shadow and Christ is the reality, that's Colossians 2, then are we really going to teach people that the Spirit of God is helping you keep the Sabbath? The Spirit of God is helping you avoid pork, avoid shellfish? I mean, where does it stop? It's just as bad when we hear about tithing. People will say, oh, I know we're free from the tithe, but that's just a good benchmark. That's a good starting place. Well, then what we're saying is grace is stricter than the law. Grace is more condemnation than the law. We're saying we got to start with the law and then graduate to something called grace, which is even stricter. So 10% is the minimum, the benchmark, and then God demands even more today. That's how the teaching goes. And we've got to be careful of these errors because they sound really good. They sound so spiritual that God's going to help you keep the law and that tithing is just the starting point and we add to that. Man, that's slick. I mean, that sounds really good. The only problem is it's not scriptural. I mean, we're told we get to give freely from the heart, not under any pressure. You know, one time Paul is collecting a gift and he actually sends someone out in front of him to collect that gift so that they won't feel pressure or feel awkward or wonder if they gave enough. He's so caring and gentle about the issue. He doesn't want to apply the slightest bit of pressure. So grace giving and grace living, it's not about Moses. It's all about Jesus. Does that help?
Yes, it does. So much is happening to people. But then sometimes I think a lot of times ministers cohort the law in order to so that they can get to the tithe. And so that's something that, you know, that I believe some people do also. But when they're telling them that, you just said, it's all about grace and it's not about the law and any of those other things. So just need to focus on grace and let that be preeminent.
Yes, amen. I mean, you know, follow the money trail there. And a lot of times you'll find that's the motivation for bringing back in the law. And, you know, we need to come to the realization that we can trust God and we can trust the Spirit of God living in people to motivate them when they hear a message that is the truth about Jesus. There's going to be an inspiration and a motivation welling up inside of them. We don't have to beat them over the head with Old Testament tithing. I mean, it's the wrong covenant. It's the wrong amount. The true amount back then was about 21-22% when you do the math. So we got the wrong covenant. We got the wrong amount. And my goodness, you know, it's the wrong high priest. We've got Jesus now. And when there's a change of priesthood, there's a change of law. And so, my friend Andrew, I think you're just doing an amazing thing in asking these important questions and always reminding us, let's stay focused on God's grace. We'll never be disappointed.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. Thank you so much. I knew I called the right people as always. Praise God.
Great to hear from you, Andrew. Keep listening. Call us again. We love hearing from you, brother. 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock, plenty of it, and plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you. And guys, I have a question I want to drop in. It's a question of my own. I have a friend who has a rock-solid belief in the gospel. From our conversations, I have no doubt whatsoever about her belief in Jesus and her salvation in him. On the other hand, she describes herself as a spirit-filled believer, and that although she has not done so herself, she has friends who have accomplished things like healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out demons. Andrew, she has recently seen an interview that you were featured in, so I'll pose the question to you first, and I'd like to hear Bob Christopher's thoughts as well. But the question is, how do the so-called spirit-filled things fit within the context of her foundational belief in the gospel?
Yeah, well, I think this expression, filled with the Spirit, which Paul uses in Ephesians, has really been warped out there. I mean, if you do a quick study of this expression, Bob, filled with the Spirit, well, Let's do it. I mean, here's Acts 2. They were filled with the Spirit. Why? In order to share the gospel, it says. How about Acts 4? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? To address some rulers and elders who were present, and that's the only reason. And then again in Acts 4, to boldly speak the word of God, to serve food at tables in Acts 6. What's my point? Well, my point is, if we've been told that, you know, being filled with the Spirit is for signs and wonders and miracles, then that feels pretty irrelevant to the average person's daily life. But what we discover in Ephesians, for example, is that being filled with God's Spirit is about being inspired by His love and knowing the depth and the width and the height and the breadth, how ginormous the love of Christ is. And when we realize how gigantic His affection is for us, well, that's inspirational. And so that's what this phrase means. Even in the book of Acts, which is filled with all kinds of signs and wonders, people getting healed, etc. But when it comes to this expression, it seems to me that in Acts 2 and 4 and 6 and beyond, this is about being motivated by the incredible love of God so that I am hospitable as I serve food. I'm in Acts 11, they encouraged people and shared the good news. And Acts 13, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and challenged a false teaching. And they also experienced joy despite persecution. So what does that for a person? How can you experience the joy of Jesus even though you're being persecuted? Well, it's got to be the love of God. So, you know, we've got our eyes on signs and miracles and wonders. And look, God can heal people. He can heal anybody He wants. But don't miss the healing that the gospel has already done in your life in introducing you to the ginormous love of Christ, and that His love can be our motivation for any move we make. It's not about signs and wonders. It's about Christ being our life.
Yeah, Andrew, I love how Paul kind of positions the definition of love kind of right in the middle of his discussion on spiritual gifts. And you know, a lot of folks are looking at being Spirit-filled as kind of the power to execute or deliver on those gifts and that sort of thing, and they get all mesmerized by the gifts and the things that they can do. And yet, Paul says, "Let me show you a more excellent way." And I think that phrase there is Paul saying to us, being filled with the Spirit is that most excellent way, and it is the way of love. Yeah. It is the language that we speak out there in the world today. It's the language that we speak one to another, both in our words and our actions, as we trust Jesus Christ. And as we walk by faith, as Paul says, we express that faith and love one to another. And that's why being filled to the Spirit has some practical application and implications for us in our day-to-day lives. So it's a powerful reality.
Yeah, you look at Ephesians 5, which we're talking about here, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Well, what comes next? It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart, giving thanks for all things in the name of Jesus. I mean, you just want to say, Paul, why aren't you raising somebody from the dead here? Why aren't you telling us to go heal somebody? As great as those things are, look, He has said that being filled with the Spirit is about encouraging one another and singing to the Lord and giving thanks in your heart and even submitting to each other. It says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I mean, all of that takes place because we know someone loves us and His name is Jesus, and our needs are met in Him. Therefore, we can start thinking about other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for those thoughts. Something great is coming in October. We want to talk about that just for a second. It's called United. Two of the finest grace teachers you're ever going to hear are uniting for a very special event in mid-October. Basic Gospel's Bob Christopher and the Grace Message's Dr. Andrew Farley. both of course, on the program today. They will host a grace-filled conference called United, and we want our friends from all over to be here October 15th through the 17th in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Let's put COVID-19 behind us and come together as the body of Christ for this most special event. You can get all the information at basicgospel.net/united. Again, basicgospel.net/united. We hope you'll get online and do something rash and you know, kind of rash today and just yeah. get there and register.
Register. That, that's exactly Ooh. Right. Andrew, you and I have talked about this. Our ministry has talked about it. We're really, really excited about this event in October, and it starts on my birthday, October 15th. So
beautiful.
Come and celebrate my birthday, and let's talk about the grace of God. Let's talk about all the things that unite us in Christ. And, Andrew, it's going to be a special time, isn't it?
Yeah, and even the theme, you know, united, there's a lot to that. We're united to Christ. We are one with Him. We've got this vine branches relationship. Also, you and I, Bob, we've been friends for a long time, and we're united in the sharing of the gospel. And you look at all of the unity that we have in the body of Christ that Jesus has caused for us. I mean, we're one. And as we gather together in Dallas, Texas, my goodness, we're going to have a great time united together, celebrating the love of Jesus. And it doesn't get any better than that.
Well, if anybody's interested, we have a website, basicgospel.net/united. You can go there, register, and be a part of this great event, October 15th through 17th, right here in Lewisville, Texas.
Not if anybody is interested. Everybody should be interested.
That's right. Amen. Everybody should be interested, indeed. Well, let's go back to our phone lines to Victoria, Texas, and talk with Barry. Hi, Barry.
Barry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I was talking to a lady the other day, and she was saying that we can get too much grace. And I was wondering what would be the correct answer. I mean, this just really kind of bothered me. There's no way we can get too much grace. I can't get enough. But she just said you can get too much grace. What would a good gentle response be to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my take is Romans 6:14. It doesn't get any better than that. Listen to this passage. It's so incredible. It says, sin will no longer be your master because you're not under the law but under grace. So do I want less of that? Would I like less victory over sin? Do I want sin to master me? Well, then if I want less grace, I'm going to have less victory. But if I have more grace, then I'm going to have more victory, and sin won't master me. It's the same thing with Titus 2:11-12. The grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. Well, do I want to say no to sin more, or do I want to say no to sin less? And so you see then, if you yank the grace away, then you're yanking the power to say no away. And, you know, it's just a faulty view of grace. I mean, you know, we get this wimpy view of grace, this faulty view of grace, where it's nothing more than just mercy when you fail, or the absence of punishment, or something like that. Then we have this wimpy view of grace, and we treat it like it's some sort of license to sin. And God's saying the opposite. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Sin won't master you under grace. Grace teaches you to say no to sin. So we always need more and more of God's grace, not less.
Yes, indeed. Well, one last quick question. Is it okay to get tattoos?
You know, there's no scripture in the New Testament forbidding it. We're not under the law. You might look at the Old Testament and see something there, but remember, you're dead to the law, free from the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe.
You also might want to get some references, I would think.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, everybody, for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember that we have this great new resource we'd like to send you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to keep the message of life in Jesus Christ going forward. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. We'll send you a copy as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that if you have questions concerning the Christian life, a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or maybe an issue you're finding hard to deal with, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the broadcast. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that number's a good 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's there for you, our Basic Gospel listeners. We love hearing from you, so I hope you'll use that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to our great friend and brother Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel, and have those questions ready because we want to hear from you here at Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.